Now, the worship of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Reverend Mia Richardson, pastor. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I welcome all of you here this morning, especially those on the radio. And we are very happy to have visitors from the family of Ethan who will be baptized this morning. And we are just great to celebrate this occasion with all of you. Let us pause for some beautiful music, which will lead us into our time of centering.
Thank you.
Good morning. Scripture reading from Luke, 2nd chapter. The time came for Mary and Joseph to do what the law of Moses says a mother is supposed to do after her baby is born. They took Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem and presented him to the Lord, just as the law of the Lord says, each firstborn baby boy belongs to the Lord. The law of the Lord also says that parents have to offer a sacrifice, giving at least a pair of doves or two young pigeons. So that is what Mary and Joseph did. At this time, a man named Simeon was living in Jerusalem. Simeon was a good man. He loved God and was waiting for God to save the people of Israel. God's Spirit came to him and told him that he would not die until he had seen Christ the Lord. When Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple to do what the law of Moses says should be done for a new baby, the Spirit told Simeon to go into the temple. Simeon took the baby Jesus in his arms and praised God. Lord, I am your servant, and now I can die in peace because you have kept your promise to me. With my own eyes, I have seen what you have done to save your people, and foreign nations will also see this. Your mighty power is a light for all nations, and it will bring honor to your people Israel. Jesus' parents were surprised at what Simeon had said. Then he blessed them and told Mary, "This child of yours will cause many people in Israel to fall and others to stand. The child will be like a warning sign. Many people will reject him, and you, Mary, will suffer as though you had been stabbed by a dagger. But all this will show what people are really thinking." The prophet Anna was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Aser, and she was very old. In her youth, she had been married for 7 years, but her husband died. Now she was 84 years old. Night and day she served God in the temple by praying and often going without eating. At that time, Anna came in and praised God. She spoke about the child Jesus to everyone who hoped for Jerusalem to be set free. After Joseph and Mary had done everything that the law of the Lord commands, they returned home to Nazareth in Galilee. The child Jesus grew. He became strong and wise, and God blessed him. Well, the choir has the day off. Linda asked if there was anyone that wanted to do something on this Sunday when, you know, we're kind of between things. I thought it might be a good time for me to get one of my Christmas attempts at writing out of the box. So this carol is a few years old. Born in this church after creating a little children's show that was about elves and the fact that the lights went out at Christmas because people were too busy consuming to think about giving and loving. And they needed to, quote, see the light. And the song Starshine finished off that little production.
Cathedral of the night. So now this special time of year, we welcome the newborn King with carols of rejoicing. Let bells and voices ring to love one another. We all can do our part to live our lives like Jesus, God's love in all our hearts. Star shine, light divine for humankind across all time. Starlight shining bright, our cathedral.
Thank you very much, Paul. Well, you've all heard that song that's been playing on the radio. So this is Christmas. You know, it goes on and on. It's a popular song. I heard it last week as I drove around finishing up little things. And I said, so what? What's next? What do we do now? Yes, we have celebrated. We have eaten the feast. We have worshiped, sung, opened all the gifts. I even opened the ones that my daughter who went to California left under the tree and I wasn't going to open till she got back. She called me up and said, open that, Mom. We have visited with friends and neighbors. What's next? What now? Where do we go from here? What do we do with this baby Jesus anyway? What is our obligation now that the celebration is over? What difference will all this make, all this celebrating? What difference does it make in our lives? First, we are compelled to ask, what did Mary and Joseph do? What did those law-abiding citizens of the town of Nazareth do? They followed the Hebrew law. They were, after all, good religious people, whom Luke shows to be followers of law and tradition. They took this baby to the temple to present him to God and to the community and to have him circumcised. In doing this, we are told by their actions that those who wrote the gospel believed that Jesus was the only one who could free humanity from the law. In order to break free of the law, one has to stand in the midst of the law. This was done for this baby, who was then brought up within the Hebrew tradition, to show us how to live beyond the law. The law also says that the family must make an offering. Therefore, Mary brought two turtle doves and two pigeons and placed them before God. That was the tradition. This was the offering that a poor family would make when they could not afford a sheep. It was the provision that Hebraic law made so that no one would feel that they could not offer something to God. In this act, Jesus is identified with the poor, an identification he kept all his life. Further identification comes with the connection to Anna. She is a poor widow who has no home and lives in the temple. In fact, the name Anna in Hebrew means poor. She is an old widow. And somebody from the first service said, don't say that 84 is old. That Luke didn't understand that. And at that time, 84 was really old. People didn't live that long. But we think 84 is quite young, don't we, George? He's 85. Anyway, she is a widow and was taken care of by the community. And this is a common pattern of living in Eastern culture, even today. Yet even though she is poor, she is not bereft, for she has hope, real hope. piety that is full of hope and thankfulness. She is the one who continues to hope for a connection, a way to God, a way to be in God. She is able to receive not only physical sustenance, but also spiritual insight. Anna is contrasted with those who are full, powerful, and successful, and who see Jesus as a threat. She is old in years, poor, hopeful, and thankful, and she is able to see Jesus as a way to God. In Luke, those who have no abundance draw closely to Jesus and see him for what he really is. How may we see rightly about Jesus? Must we adjust our lives in order to be able to identify with those who may teach us about hope? Simeon makes a confession that the whole church is invited to make. In this Jesus we have now disclosed to us our last best hope. Luke tells us through Simeon that we have a personal assurance of God's love through this baby Jesus. In verse 29, he tells us, and I quote, "You are dismissing your servant in peace," end quote. Words that one would use when freeing a slave. Do we need that kind of freeing? In verse 30, we hear about salvation and the liberation of God's world. How could we be liberated to live in God's world? In verse 32, we see that transformation applies not only to the Hebrews, but to the Gentiles as well. We are all to be part of God's kingdom. Do we take this promise seriously? Yes, this is Christmas. So what do we do about it? Was it only for those who lived 2,000 years ago? What about us with our sparkling, color-changing tinsel trees, our after-Christmas 75% off sale world? What about us as we clear out the decorations, put them carefully away, and get ready for a new year? What do we do now? Has this celebration made any difference in our lives? Are we any more ready to see this Jesus as our way to God? Ann Weems, in her book, Kneeling in Bethlehem, says it this way, and I quote, "What concerns me, what lies on my heart is this, that we in the church, papered and programmed, articulate and agendaed, are telling the faith story all wrong, are telling it as though it happened 2,000 years ago, or is going to happen as soon as the church budget is raised. We seem to forget that Christ's name is Emmanuel, God with us, not just when he sat among us, but now, when we cannot feel the nail prints in his hands." End quote. What does this mean in our lives? What will we do this Christmas time? Are we like Anna, ready to experience the hope of this Savior? Are we ready to forgive someone that we need to forgive in order to see that Christ in our lives? Are we more thankful this year? Are we more focused on God? There are many responses that we can make as we move into the new year with a new awareness. What will they be? What is awakened in our hearts? Perhaps it's a new awareness for the poor and needy. Maybe we have seen God in the older people around us that need our help in specific ways. Possibly we are more aware of an old quarrel that has separated us from a family member, and in that way we are separated from God. Forgiveness is an elusive thing. Forgiveness is for us, not the other person. The more we need to forgive, the more we retreat from that way of life, and therefore we are moving away from God. Have our hearts become hardened that we miss the significance of this baby in our own lives? Will we dare to move toward God with hope in our hearts? I turn once more to Ann Weems and her poem entitled, "It Is Not Over." And again, I quote, "It is not over, this birthing. There are always newer skies into which God can throw stars. When we begin to think that we can predict the advent of God, that we can box the Christ in a stable in Bethlehem, that's just the time that God will be born in a place we can't imagine and won't believe. Those who wait for God watch with their hearts and not their eyes, listening, always listening for angel words." End quote. And so I ask you once again, where are you in this season, this in-between season? What are you afraid of? What are you unwilling to let go? What has Christmas meant in your life? Does this birth mean new birth in you? Are you listening? So this is Christmas. So what? Let's talk about our Christmas experiences to each other, and I hope you will share some with me. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now let's go tell it on the mountain. Benediction. Gabriel foretold it. The angels heralded it. The shepherds came to see for themselves. And it is true. God is with us through Jesus Christ, the babe of Bethlehem, and our resurrected Lord. The world will never be the same. We ourselves will never be the same. Go then and tell the world, Jesus Christ is born. So be it. Amen.
this has been, where do we go from here? With Pastor Mary Martin, originally broadcast December 28th, 2014. Christmas is over. The season is past. What did it mean to you this year? What do we do now? Plus, a special presentation by Paul Brown featuring an original song, Starshine.
You've been listening to the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.